Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. There was a day in the ministry of Jesus that he was on a Galilean hillside, and he was having a conversation with his disciples. And in this conversation, he talked about a wide variety of things that our Heavenly Father desires for our lives. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. We find it in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And he comes to a particular point in the sermon. Of course, we don't know what Jesus is thinking, but I imagine perhaps as he looks at these disciples, he thinks about the times that he has seen the way in which they treat others judgmentally. And so he says to them, "Do not judge." I invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, where we read these particular words of Jesus. "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." In Jesus' day, there were many different kind of religious leaders, and it seems like one of the characteristics of these various groups of religious leaders is they had a tendency to name others as sinners. It was a part of their, it seemed like, their religious practice. Other people did not live up to their standards, and so they labeled them sinners. And it was something that not only the religious leaders were doing, but many throughout society were doing the same, perhaps following their lead. There were different kinds of people who seemed to be called sinners, as we read about it, especially in the Gospels. There were certainly the people who had clearly broken the law. For example, prostitutes were called sinners, just as a general category. Then you had those who were collaborating with the Roman occupying government, such as tax collectors, and they were given the name sinners. Then you had people who suffered from chronic illness. Perhaps they had a disability of some kind. And in the minds of these religious leaders, they must have offended God in some way. That's why they were suffering this debilitating situation. Therefore, they were sinners. And then you had anyone who wasn't a Jew. All Gentiles, generally, were also sinners, for they were not part of God's chosen people. Sinners, we will call them. And it is against the backdrop of this reality that Jesus sees in the culture around him, perhaps even, I think, sees in his own particular followers, that he tells a story. It's a story about two men who go to the temple in Jerusalem to pray to God. One is a Pharisee, a member of one of these religious groups, and the other one is a tax collector, one among those who are often labeled as sinners. And Jesus tells the story and says, the Pharisee, as he prays loudly and proudly, he prays, I thank God that I am not a sinner like that tax collector. And then Jesus says, the tax collector, he prays quietly and humbly, and he says, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that the tax collector is right before God, but the Pharisee is not. The point Jesus is making in the verses that we read is that, yes, while people do commit sin, and indeed we know from other things that Jesus says, clearly what Paul says, for example, in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned, but we are not to judge one another using categories like sinner. Well, of course, people object. People have said things like, isn't it important for the followers of God, for Christians, not only themselves to obey God and to resist sin, but it is important for them to teach other people the same thing, to tell other people that they also should obey God and should not sin. And of course, the answer is yes. That's exactly what Scripture teaches. That's exactly what Jesus has said and continues to say. For example, at the end of this same Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus is preparing to return to heaven, he's giving the disciples their marching orders, if you will, what they're to do in their ministry. He says to them, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Obedience to the commands of God is clearly stated in Scripture. And Jesus, in these verses that I have read, in no way is mitigating that, let alone contradicting it. He is not talking about sin. He's talking about the way we treat one another, using a category in a general sense of sinner. Take stealing, for example. Is stealing a sin? Yes, it is. We even have one of those Ten Commandments, the eighth, that says, do not steal. It's one of the big ones. Therefore, if we know someone has stolen, are we not, if we are in the position to do so, to address it? Are we not to point out to them that stealing is wrong? Yes, we are. But it is how we do that and the way we treat people in general, if we think of it in this way, as a category of those who steal. And again, of course, you can plug in your whatever sin that you'd like into the category. I use sin. But whether it's an individual person that you're aware of, perhaps that you know or have a relationship with, or just a group of people in general who steal or who do whatever, fill in the blank. What Jesus is saying is you are not to behave towards them according to a generalized category. You are not to say to them, because I place you within the category of sinner, or even God points out that what you have done is a sin, which it is, I am not, though, to judge you as a sinner by the way in which I treat you. I do not have God's permission to say to you, because you're a sinner, I don't need to love you. because you're a sinner, it's okay for me to treat you coldly. Perhaps even to be scornful towards you and people like you. To withdraw any kind of sense of mercy or grace because you are a sinner. Jesus is saying, you may not do that. For the God who has said, love your neighbor as yourself, does not allow you to make exceptions to who is your neighbor, not even on the basis of their sin. God knows our heart. He knows how easy it is for us to judge other people in a way where we seek some kind of permission from ourselves, some kind of a justification, some kind of a rationalization that we have the right to treat them less than how God calls us to treat them, indeed, how God treats them. There will come a day when God will judge every sin. But you and I are not the judge. God will not call us to himself and say, here's a sinner, Steve. What do you think should be done with this person? That's not going to happen. Not then. And it's not happening now. Do not judge, says Jesus. The problem is, as Jesus points out here, and as he explains in more detail after those first few words there in verse 1, do not judge, he said, here's the problem. You have become speck inspectors instead of self inspectors. You go around looking for the speck in other people's lives. And you become completely unaware of that big old log in your eye that has been growing daily because of the way you are treating the people in whom you have determined is a speck. Jesus says you need to see yourselves clearly before looking at that speck and making a comment about it, making some decision about it, deciding how to proceed with that person or those individuals who kind of have a common speck, if you will. Jesus uses a very important word. I would suggest a word that if it was used more often and acted upon, there'd be a lot less judgmentalism, at least among those of us who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ. He said, first, see to the log in your own eye. First, take a look at who you are, and in this context, and specifically, how you have been treating those people that you have labeled sinners. And if you take a close look, you will realize how hypocritical. Jesus' word, hypocrite, exclamation point, at least in the translation that I read. Hypocrite, he says, not to the religious leaders, although he does that in other places. He's speaking to his disciples here. Hypocrite. Do you really think that you're without sin? Do you think you have the right to label other people with a label that you're unwilling to take upon yourself? First, Take a look at what is going on in your own life. Take a look at that log in your eye. Recognize your sin. Confess your sin. Appeal to the grace and the mercy of God for forgiveness, quietly and humbly, like the tax collector in the temple. Oh God, I am a sinner. And perhaps especially in the way I have been thinking about, speaking about, and treating people that I have put in the sinner category. First, do that. And what you will recognize, if this is an honest self-evaluation, if you're beginning to see yourself more clearly, is that mercy, that grace, that forgiveness, that love from your heavenly Father that comes your way completely undeserved, begins to change your heart. And now, as you begin to see things more clearly as they truly are about yourself, then, as Jesus says, first take care of your log, then you may address the speck in your friend's eye. Jesus doesn't say ignore the speck. Jesus doesn't say there is no such thing as specks. He says, first, do this. And then you will rightly, with a right heart, a right attitude, and exhibiting right behavior, be for one another who God calls you to be. Paul says it very directly. Jesus, as far as I know, doesn't use the exact words, but certainly he talks about it in different ways. For example, in Matthew 18, if a brother sins against you, that is a fellow believer, using brother in the generic biblical sense, if a brother or sister sins against you, what are you supposed to do? Sinner. No, you're not supposed to do that. Matthew 18, what are you supposed to do? Go to that person. But they sinned against me. Yeah, I know. So Steve, you go to them. You take the first step. Go humbly, go caringly. Go perhaps knowing. Jesus doesn't say these. I'm just filling in the blanks a little bit, I think. Jesus is saying, you know, Steve, you're not totally without sin. You may even have done something against them. But yes, they did something against you. So now, Steve, you go to them. And you have a conversation with them. But you need to go with a clean heart. Not a clean heart towards them, although how you think of them is very important. But clean heart means with me. So you and I, we'll get straight with each other. And then you go, and then you deal with them. First, deal with the log in your own eye. Paul, as I mentioned earlier, says it more directly. He said, confess your sin one to another. And you kind of read that and go, well, what does he say next? Confess your sin. How in the world are we supposed to do that? Well, we certainly can't do it if we don't follow Jesus' direction here. First, we deal with our own sin. And then we can be involved in the right family of God way of helping each other. Because we all have blind spots in our lives. There are all places in our lives where we sin, often without being aware of it. People respond to us in different ways. It may not be an intentional thing. And I'm not saying that we don't also sin intentionally. We do, but I think those are more obvious. But sometimes it's the unintentional. It's an angry tone of voice. And if someone comes and says, you know, Steve, we were talking about such and such, and I just felt like you were kind of angry with me, and I'm not sure why, and I can then say, yeah, I really wasn't angry with you at all. I just wanted to tell you what I thought, but I wasn't angry, I wasn't upset. And said, well, you know, it just sounded that way by your tone of voice. And then I can say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. that I was doing that. Maybe I was a little more angry than I thought. Maybe my tone of voice was saying something that I didn't think my mind was saying. We could have a conversation. I can be aware of it. And I can think maybe I need to be careful about the tone of voice I use when I have those kinds of conversations with people. That's the way in which God has designed us to work together, because we're all sinners. We can't ignore that part of our relationships with each other. And we do sin against each other. So what are we to do in the body of Christ? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, of course, it extends beyond that, but it is in this context, because remember, he's talking with his disciples. And the primary place to put this to work is within that body of Christ. First, do this. Then, correctly, appropriately, in a way that is helpful to your brother or sister, you can go to them humbly, having confessed your own sin, and then have a conversation about that speck that you have seen that correctly does need to be addressed. There was another day in Jesus' life that some of the religious leaders came to Jesus, and they brought with them a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they let Jesus know that they had brought stones with them, and they wanted to stone her for what she had done, for her behavior. And Jesus looked at them, and he said, "Whoever is without sin may throw the first stone." And Scripture tells us that one by one, the accusers put down their stones and walked away. Until finally, it was only Jesus and the woman who were left. And Jesus looks at the woman and he says, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And the actual throwing of the stone at someone would be an act of condemnation. "Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No, Lord." And Jesus says, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." We're all familiar, I think, with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We also need to get to know verse 17, the very next verse. We need to get to know that well also, if you don't already. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we read these words of Jesus, words that are so often misused. Certainly in the culture is an excuse for saying, "Hey, I should be able to do whatever I want and no one should tell me otherwise." And of course, that is a complete twisting. And I think many intentionally know and do so intentionally knowing what they're doing. But that's not what we're dealing with here today. What we're dealing with here today, what we seek to understand through your Holy Spirit and through the mind that you have given us as we read scriptures, what is the correct interpretation that we're not to judge others? Clearly, Jesus, you're not saying that sin does not exist. You're not even saying that we're not to be aware of sin in the lives of other people and address it appropriately. But you are saying be careful how you address it. Be careful in addressing sin and others, sin in the world, that you do not step outside of God's will in how you interact in all things for all people at all times. There is no exception to the love your neighbor command. Jesus told that very well-known parable of the Good Samaritan to make that exact point. So, Father, how we treat each other, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat people we don't even know, but perhaps we have put in the sinner category, at least according to our own standards.
Father, may we take very seriously these words of Jesus. And may we become aware of what is going on in our own life, that log that perhaps has been building for a long time, that we really do need to address. Help us, Lord, to be people who reflect the purposes of God in the world, a God who sent his Son not to judge. Jesus himself says, I have not come to be your judge. Scripture says one day he will be the judge, but that day is not today. And however he will do that, and whenever that day comes, that's within your purposes. And you are God. You are holy, and it is within your rights to judge sinners. But it is not within our right. Lord, this is not easy. It is not an easy balance to judge a sin but not a sinner. How are we to do that? Or that kind of common phrase, not biblical, but to love the sinner but hate the sin. So help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Each of us need to address these words and come to these words in our own way. There's not one size that fits all. We're all at different places. But you are the one God who has called us to yourself. And so may we see ourselves as your children, seeking to follow you in all things, including what Jesus is teaching us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.